You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Office of the Children's Commissioner has released a report into youth residential care facilities. The Hard Place to Be Happy report contains children's experiences of living in the institutions in their own words, with much of it making for harrowing reading. The facilities are largely run by Oranga Tamariki, who have indicated possible changes to the system in the future. I spoke with Children's Commissioner Andrew Beecroft about the report, first asking him to explain what a residential care unit is.
Well, these are for children, young people who haven't broken the law, haven't done anything wrong, but they have been so traumatised, abused, neglected, and known so much violence, or all four things, that behaviourally they are so challenging that they need to be kept away from the family because they're a risk to themselves or others. So these are about 100 or 200 children in New Zealand with very high and complex needs, who I think most New Zealanders would be just shocked to know the depth of their issues. And they're kept in five, they are lock-up residences, the two biggest ones, 20 beds each, Lower Hutt in South Auckland. If you looked on the outside, they would be concrete institutions, each with rooms that are pretty spartan for the kids to live in. There's a school attached, meals are cooked, some recreational facilities, but they are an institution and have the feel of a concrete, secure residence. That's what they are.
And when we say locked in, so do they just, they're not allowed to leave when they want?
They are not, no. They are. The front door is locked and there are various degrees of pretty significant security. To a degree, that's for their own protection and the protection of others, and because their behaviour is so problematic that there might be risks in the community as a whole. But the model itself is a last century model. I mean, we had orphanages, we had hostels and boys' homes. I mean, this is really a relic of that era. They're big places and I'm sure they are cost effective, but they aren't places that you'd want for your own children to go to. And if you ask them themselves, as we did, they say the places don't work for them overall. They'd much rather be somewhere else.
I was certainly surprised to learn these places existed. I didn't know they existed before I saw the report.
And most New Zealanders would be like that too.
Do you think, yeah, it is quite shocking that in the 21st century we still have these, and is it because they probably are just more cost effective and because of that?
I think you're pretty much right. They were an approach that was considered appropriate for the time, where you'd segregate those with the most challenging behaviour and aggregate and congregate them together in a larger institution. Yes, it would save money, but in the long run, it's not what we want for our children. We've shut those sorts of approaches down in most areas. This group, no one speaks for them, no one is their voice, they're often under the radar, highly marginalised. We are their voice. We thought it was crucial to put their voices out, unvarnished. This report comes with no recommendations, no analysis. It just is what it is. This is what children and young people are saying. And yes, they say some deeply harrowing and distressing things, and their voices are very insistent. They also point to the fact, one boy said, it saved my life in a place such as this, because clearly what he was going through was pretty traumatic. This gave him a fresh start. They talk about staff who go the extra mile, but they also talk about bullying. There's all the things you'd expect when challenging young people and children are grouped together. It's not an environment which really works. The model's flawed. This isn't a criticism of the staff. It's not really a direct criticism of Oranga Tamariki in that they've inherited these facilities. They are so last century. And there's been already some commitment to change. The largest of the residences in South Auckland, that's been downsized significantly. I support their phased closure. Actually, I'd support putting a bulldozer through them, really. That's the only way we're going to get change. But I'm not so stupid as to say that couldn't happen tomorrow, because there needs to be a suite of good family homes throughout the country, close to people's homes themselves, where there's expert staff, well supervised. That's the way forward, not 10 or 20 bed units in 3 or 4 or 5 places throughout New Zealand.
What's really stood out in the report for you reading it?
These children and young people are desperate for a warm, loving home life. They yearn for that, where they feel they can take place normally with friends, with mainstream school, trips outside with access to a computer if they're older, understand and have links with their culture. Actually, they're saying all the things that my kids and most kids in New Zealand would say that they want. And that's what I find heart-rendering in a way, that the model that we're using is really alienating this group and removing them from all the supports that you would want. And some have even said, we feel like we're being set up to fail. They'd love to learn how to cook. They'd love to learn how to be more independent.
I suppose the effects of these secure residential care units, do they go beyond beyond the child's time there? It really does carry with them through into later life.
Yeah, there's little evidence to say exactly what the long-term consequences are. I mean, certainly they provide protection. They provide the ability for a new start. But nobody thinks that an institutionalised care approach, where there are greater risks of, even now, abuse, although I hope we're being a lot more vigilant about that, but risks of abuse, of bullying, they're all heightened. Any form of institutionalised care these days would be considered second best. And for these kids in particular, we want first best. We want the absolutely best we can give them. There are great models. I mean, we're starting them, but those... Now, the expert supervised family homes, that's the way forward. Not, in a sense, and this is overstating it to a degree, but not warehousing people in a small number of institutions scattered throughout New Zealand. That is not the way of the future.
And how important do you feel it is to give these children a voice in this report?
I think it's crucial. I think my job as Children's Commissioner, in fact by law that's my job, is to ensure that children are consulted and they have a voice. And that's why in this report we didn't analyse it, we didn't discuss it, we didn't make recommendations. We just said, here are what 50 plus children, young people over the last 18 months have told us. And the clear themes are the 5 that we identified, and they stand out. And it is what it is. They speak for themselves. My hope is that their needs will be prioritised in a way that hasn't been the case before, that this will galvanise Oranga Tamariki into action to complete the phased closure of these residents, their replacement, as soon as possible. I'd love it to be done tomorrow, but it's certainly got to happen as fast as possible and faster than is happening now.
And you've touched on Oranga Tamariki and their plans to shut them down. What would they be bringing in instead?
Yeah, well, they haven't explicitly said we're shutting them down. We have certainly been pretty insistent they should be closed. What would replace them is this: smaller homes, actual residential family homes with good house parents, with good expert staff, with good 24/7 supervision, with access to schools, access to health, as much of a family-like environment as possible. I mean, bear in mind that some of these children and people have been there for 8 or 9 months, long, long periods inside an institution, some of which was plastic mattresses, steel toilets, doors that clang shut. I mean,
wow.
They're not the places we'd want your kids and mine to be, especially the larger 20-bed type units. I'm concerned, and I think it was really important to let children themselves say what is their experience. So the report itself is just full of quotes, full of experiences, and I think we need to hear those.
And just finally, how confident are you that change will happen soon?
I'm always optimistic, and I think from what we've seen so far, I don't think Oranga Tamariki, who have inherited these institutions, want to continue with them. We've seen one downsized already. Provided there is a commitment to building good supervised family homes throughout the country, I'm pretty sure that this change will take place. We don't have orphanages, borstals or boys' homes anymore. I would think pretty quickly, within years, within single-figure years, within 3 to 5 years, there's no reason why these couldn't be gone. Actually, they could be gone more quickly than that. If Oranga Tamariki prioritised their needs and the government provided the money, we could have a whole new model up and running very quickly.
And until then, you'll keep the pressure on?
Absolutely. That is my job as a watchdog. When we see issues, we've got to bark. That's what a watchdog does. And the pressure will be, I hope, strong and insistent based on these voices.
Their relationships with their girlfriends or their wife.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.